Ladies Trio, appreciate that. What a blessing to our hearts. Let's take our Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29. Would you do that? The fifth book of the Bible. We're preaching some messages and just beginning in a series on the Bible and how important it is. The Bible is so needed, always has been. But in the day that we're living in, how we need to have a real commitment to the Word of God. We're seeing it slide in churches, denominations are turning from it. Believers everywhere, it seems like, are forsaking it. And there's this reason and then other reasons that people do it. But by and large, underneath all the turning away from God's Word is a lack of confidence in it. That lack of commitment comes from a lack of confidence. And the lack of confidence comes from simply not understanding, as we ought, what the Word of God represents, what it is. And so we're looking at some things about what the Bible is, how we got it, what it does for us, how much we need it. We are talking about the truth of God revealed to mankind. That's what we have in this precious book. Truth revealed by God. Now, the truth of the Bible is not the only truth in the world, obviously. There's a lot of truth in the world. For example, if I were to say to you, it's cold outside, that would be a true statement, wouldn't it? That's not a biblical statement, but that's a true statement. It snowed yesterday with wind. I don't know why I'm rehearsing this, but that is truth, isn't it? That is truth. But when we come to the Bible, we have a unique type of truth. Truth from God, revealed by God, because He loves us and He wants us to have it, that we might have eternal life, that we might know Him, the true and living God, and that we might know all things that are contained herein. So we're talking today on this subject, truth, unique truth, revealed by God. We're going to begin with but one verse, so you can remain seated. But if you would please pay attention to this verse and others that God has for our hearts today. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 is a very unique verse in this unique book. The Bible says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that we have this day and this opportunity to come into Your house. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege that You give us to be here. Thank You for the safety that You gave us. Thank You, Lord, for the strength. We know of so many that could not be here today. Some because of the weather, and we understand that. And some because of health concerns and other problems in their lives. We pray for all of our brothers and sisters and those that would normally be here were it not for these things. We ask You to bless them, Father. And thank You that we can come freely and come to worship You, the true and the living God, today. We want to thank You, Lord, for the worship service thus far, for the one we had earlier this morning, for our Sunday school hour, our Bible teaching. Thank You for our teachers, our classes. And Lord, we thank You for the comfort that we have in these buildings today. With it being so cold outside, we're so thankful for these things that make us comfortable, things that keep us warm, and we can worship better today because of that. We thank You, Lord, for all You provide in our homes, our families. Thank You for our clothes and our heating, our food and our jobs, and all the things You give us. Lord, help us never to take these things for granted. But most of all, Lord, we thank You for the spiritual blessings. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for heaven. Thank You, Father, for the truth that You've revealed, that we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will yet be saved when we're glorified. We'll be there with You forever. How it thrills our heart. So, Lord, we pray today that You'll work in our heart. And if anybody here is not saved, please save those individuals. Show them their need of a Savior. do your work of conviction. Do your work of redemption in their hearts today. And for all of your children, Lord, draw us close. Help us to realize that we belong to you and that we need you every hour and we need your guidance. And may we have a greater love and reverence for your word, your holy word. Bless the message to our hearts today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible is a book of truth. Amen. It is a book of truth. And we have these verses sprinkled all the way through that remind us of this very fact. The Scripture is called the Word of Truth. Paul wrote to young Timothy, and it is our Awana memory verse, our Awana theme verse. Now, if I try to say it from memory and I can't do it, that's going to be shameful, isn't it? Because our boys and girls and our leaders, they have committed this to memory. Study that to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is a description of the Bible. Jesus prayed in John 17. What a prayer it is. He prayed on our behalf. He prayed to the Father. And he said in John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What a statement. The Scripture is truth. There are those who have tried to convince us that the Bible contains truth, that is, it's sprinkled throughout here. But no, Jesus said the whole Word is truth. It not only contains it, that describes it from cover to cover. Over here in Psalm 119, this is the longest chapter in all of the Bible, and I encourage you to read that. If you have not already done so. And in that wonderful chapter that is a tribute to God's Word, it's all about what the Word is, what the Word does, what we should do with the Scriptures. All of that is contained in Psalm 119. It says this in verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. And then in verse 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Well, it is a marvelous book, isn't it? And it ought to be lifted up in all of our hearts. And may I just say to you that I'm not preaching this to you as if you don't love the Bible. I know you do, or you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't have come to Sunday school. I'm not preaching to you because you lack reverence for the Bible. You obviously have a respect and a high regard for the Bible. But here's the reason that I'm preaching it, primarily for two reasons. All of us, you must agree, you surely agree with this, all of us need to have a deeper reverence and a greater love and appreciation for the Bible. Amen. There's none of us that can honestly say that I respect the Bible the way I ought to. I don't love it the way I should love it. I don't spend enough time in it. All of us would make similar statements. And then there's another reason why I'm preaching on this theme of the Bible. And it is because people we rub shoulders with from day to day, on the job and in school and so forth, the world in which we live has very little regard for the Bible. And whether they ask the question or not, sometimes they will, but underlying their philosophy of life and their way of living is the attitude, well, that's just a book, or that's just man's opinion, or that's just what you Baptists think. That's just what you preachers say. Oh, no. Oh, no. This is what God says. This is the Word of God. And today we're going to look specifically as this book being revealed by God for us. And for that reason alone, we should treasure it. If God had not given us this book, we'd be in the dark. If God had not given us this book, if He'd not revealed it to us, we wouldn't know the way to heaven. Well, you say, well, somebody could tell us the way to heaven. Yeah, but who told them? And who told them? And who told them? The Bible says, Paul wrote to Timothy. Here's what he said. Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures from the time you were a child. And you have believed in the Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is what the Bible does for us, and it does this for us because it is a book unlike any other. Well, we need to understand what it is and how it came about. And so today we're going to begin looking at Revelation, how it is a revelation from God. Then we're going to proceed with some other words and concepts and truths about the Bible, building on the message today and weeks to come. God is our helper, and God willing, of course. Today, Revelation, and that has to do with how God revealed His truth to us. Next time we'll look at inspiration. How did men come to write it? How were they inspired? Oh, it's far different than a piece of music that somebody would sit down and we say, oh, that's an inspired tune. Well, yes, it may be, but in a different sense, a far different sense, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We'll talk about that. And then illumination and interpretation. You know, God gave it, but without His help, we couldn't understand it. And how does He help us to understand it? And then, of course, interpreting the Bible correctly is so very important. What some people have wanted to do through the years, and of course it's a very tragic mistake, is to make the Bible mean what they want it to mean. But we must never do that. We must try with all of our might and with God as our guide to let the Bible say what He meant for it to say. And that is, of course, at the heart of correct interpretation. That's what Paul meant when he wrote to Timothy. To study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is, cut it straight. Don't bend it, don't twist it, but let it speak for itself. And then the transmission and preservation of the Bible. We'll talk about that in a message to come, hopefully, about how God gave the word and how it was all brought together over a period of time and how He preserved it through the years and how He says, forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven, and it is, and not one jot or one tittle will pass until all is fulfilled. And then, of course, the last thing we'll consider, and probably all along we'll be considering this because it's so vitally important, and that is the application of Scripture. God gave it to us not just to entertain us, not just to inform us, but to transform us. Amen? So that we might live by the book, as we talked about last Sunday morning. So, we're going to look at what kind of book the Bible is, and today we begin with this very important idea that God revealed it to us. Back in Deuteronomy, where we read a moment ago, notice it has two categories of things. Secret things, the secret things belonging to the Lord our God, and then revealed things. Those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. I have found in my dealings with people, and I believe you would confirm this in your dealings with people, that oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, people are concerned about things that they are not going to have an answer to. People want to know the whys in life, don't they? Why is there a cancer? And especially people wrestle with this, and we all do. Why does God allow cancer in the world? Why do kids die? Why are teenagers killed in car wrecks? Why do people perish by the thousands when a tsunami hits somewhere? People ask these questions. Why? Why? And I'm here to tell you, you don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. Nobody has the answer. Right? There's some things we don't know. These are secret things. These are things that God allows to happen or God directs to happen. Things that do happen, they don't catch God by surprise. But God, for many reasons, does not give us the answers. And that would be in the category of the secret things. The secret things belong to God. And I'm not convinced that even when we get to heaven, God's going to give us the answer to all of our unanswered questions. He's not obligated to, you know. He's not obligated to. He's still going to be God. And even though we will know, even as we are known, we're not going to know everything as God knows it. Because for us to know everything as God knows it in heaven would mean for us to be equal with God. And so there are still, I believe, going to be some secret things that God will have for all eternity. But that's what people are all concerned about so much of the time, true? People are asking questions, why this, why that? But what we need to pay attention to is that other category of things, the things which God has revealed unto us. The very people who are wondering about all the whys and wherefores ought to pay attention to the things that they could know and should know, which have been revealed. Notice again the verse, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed," which means the Scripture, "belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." That's the application part. See, God revealed them so that we might know them, so we might comprehend them, and then so we might do them and obey them and believe them. True? But I want us to focus on this matter of God revealing things, how blessed we are. Because God didn't have to do that. God chose to do that. And it's in this book. Everything that God wanted revealed is in this book. Let's talk about two things this morning. First of all, I want to talk to you about the need for God's revelation. And then we'll spend a little time talking about the nature of God's revelation. Well, the need for God's revelation. Why did God reveal truth to us in the first place? Well, the obvious answer is this. He wanted us to know. I'm thankful, aren't you? He wanted us to know. And it's also because we could not know if He had not revealed these things to us. That word revelation means something that's unveiled, something that's disclosed, something that's made known. It's something that's not known by human observation, something that's not known by human investigation. It's not something that we could find out on our own. Understand this about this book. These are things that God has revealed to us that we otherwise could have never known. For example, here's a great example, the creation. The books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were written by Moses. Well, Moses wasn't in the Garden of Eden. That was hundreds of years after creation took place. How did Moses know that God spoke everything into existence? God revealed that to him. And therefore, we have an accurate record, a truthful record of how everything came into being. We've already talked about Deuteronomy 29:29. Let me give you a couple of other verses that talk about how God reveals things that otherwise cannot be known. Now, there are many verses we could turn to, but I want to share just a couple that seem to stand out to me. One is in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17. Jesus was with His disciples at Caesarea Philippi. He asked them a question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they came back with the answer. Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then He came with this question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus looked at Simon Peter, and here's what He said. I'm going to read it. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven." What He said to Simon Peter was simply this. Simon Peter, you're not so smart that you figured that out. Understand this, Simon Peter. The only reason you know the truth about Me is because My Father revealed that to you. How grateful you ought to be. How humble you ought to feel. Because had God the Father not revealed that to you, you wouldn't know that about Me. In fact, you've already testified yourself. You just testified that other people have got it wrong. They just think that I'm a prophet, John the Baptist or one of the others. But My Father has revealed to you that I am the Messiah, that I'm the Christ, and I am the Son of the living God. And so that is an instance where God revealed something to Simon Peter. But that's just an instance. The Bible is full of all truth that we could not know unless God revealed it to us. You follow what I'm saying? Then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is writing there to the church at Corinth, and he says, "As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." This is an instance where most often people will quote verse 9 and stop. They won't go to verse 10. They say, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into man's heart, that is, even imagination. We can't conceive of what God has in store for us. But you need to go to verse 10. It says, but God has revealed them unto us. The point being made, the main point of that scripture is that we cannot know about the things of the spirit world simply by looking. You can't see with the physical eye. Or by hearing. You can't hear with the physical ear. Or by even imagination. There's a song, you know, I can only imagine. Well, to a point, that's true. We can only imagine. But there are some things we can know about heaven because God has revealed it. He hasn't revealed everything we might want to know, but He's revealed everything that He felt like we needed to know. And how thankful we ought to be that He has revealed these things unto us by His Spirit. His Spirit. Now, the Bible is not the record of everything we might want to know. There was a fellow in our church. Well, let's go ahead and tell you. Jimmy Graham. He's a police officer. You may not know Jimmy, or you may. He comes to the early service. And I brought this out. It just kind of came to my heart. I hadn't planned to say it. But it's a good illustration of what I'm talking about. I was in a class a few years ago. Jimmy was teaching a boys' class. And it may have been a vacation Bible school. I think it was. Been many years ago. But the statement he made has stuck with me. He said, boys, you know, we're on a need-to-know basis with God, not a want-to-know basis. Something like that. Anyway, it stuck in my heart. And that's so true. God has told us what we need to know, not what we want to know. Right? So we have questions about heaven. We have questions about human suffering. We have questions about our life and the lives of others and why all these pitfalls and why all these things and why not this and why this. But if God wanted us to know all those things, He would have told us. He's told us what we need to know, not what we want to know. And because of that, we ought to be so very thankful. Now let me move to another thing before we move on to the nature of revelation. And that is another reason why we need God's revealed truth. And that is because we can't find it out on our own because of our sinful nature. You see, think back at the beginning. You had Adam and Eve, and God had a direct channel to Adam and Eve. He talked to them. They heard Him in an audible voice. But then what happened in Genesis chapter 3? Sin came in. And they died spiritually. They were cut off from God, separated from God. They felt the shame. They went and hid. They did you remember the fig leaves? You remember all that? Communication was then something far different. And we have inherited that sin nature. God had to communicate with us a different way. Instead of face-to-face or audibly, because sin was that barrier, God had to go beyond that barrier or cross that barrier of sin. And He has graciously done that in the Scripture and by His Spirit using the Scripture to communicate with us. You follow what I'm saying? It was because of our sinful nature. Let me put it this way. Because we're born in sin and we live in a world of sin and under a curse, if we did not have the Bible, the Word of God, we would be living in total spiritual darkness. The entrance of Thy words giveth light. Not talking about physical light, of course, talking about spiritual light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need light because in and of ourselves we're spiritually in darkness. And we're dead too. You add that. And we need life. And the Bible brings life. And it brings light. Spiritual light. And so for that reason, we need the Word of God. And I'll just say this and we'll move on. How thankful we ought to be that God has done this, but God took the initiative. You see? God is the one that recognized the need that we had for such a book. And so He set out at various times throughout history to reveal things that were recorded. But how thankful we are, how humbled we are that God loved us enough that He revealed this truth to us. Amen? What a treasure. The need for revelation. Now the nature of revelation. As we think about the Bible and what kind of book it is, we'll talk about what God has revealed and how He has revealed it. Now, the simple answer of what He's revealed, if you want to say very simply, the whole Bible story could be summed up like this. It's where we came from and why we're here and where we're going. Those are good things to know, wouldn't you agree? And isn't it strange that in this world that some people hadn't figured out how we got here? They want to trace us back to some monkey or some ape or some something? I agree with the fellow who said, well, some of my ancestors might have hung by the neck, but none of them hung by the tail. Amen? We know how things got started if we'll only read the book, the first two chapters of Genesis. So we know that's a basic understanding. We know where we've come from, we know why we're here, and we know where we're going. Here's a scripture that I referred to earlier. Let me read it in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to read it in its entirety. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child, Timothy, he's writing Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now watch this. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We'll talk about what that means in a future message. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So another way to sum this up, what is the nature of this book? What does it reveal? It reveals to us what we need to know to be saved. And that would include knowing the fact that we're a sinner under condemnation. Knowing the fact that Jesus Christ is God's answer to the sin problem. The blood the lady sang about covered it all. How do we know that? Because they sang the song? No, we know that because the Word of God says that. The song is based on the Word and not the other way around. I told Mark in early service, all good songs are based on the Bible. All good songs are scriptural. You see? And so it tells us, it makes us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us where to put our faith. Your faith is no better than its object. Right? Just like you're sitting on that pew. You've got faith, that pew will hold you up. Aren't you glad it's doing it? But it doesn't matter how strong your faith is. What matters is the strength of the pew. And so it is. We've been singing about the name. How do we know to sing about the name? Because the Bible tells us about that name. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. So these are simple things. It tells us where we've come from, where we are, and why we're here, and where we're going. And it tells us how to be saved. It talks in here about faith, talks about repentance, talks about the law, and how it's a mirror, and how we not only are saved, but if you notice what we read there in 2 Timothy, it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Like we said last week, and Mark, I owe my preaching a lot to you. I want you to know that. I hear things you say, and God says amen, and I share those. Mark said last week, this is an owner's manual. It's an owner's manual. It tells you not only how to be saved, but once you are saved, it tells you how to let your salvation out, how to serve. We're thoroughly furnished. I don't know what God's called you to do. I know what He's called you to be. He's called you to be a saint. The Bible says that. He's called you to be a servant. He's called you to be these. I don't know what He's called you to do, but whatever He's called you to do, whatever assignment He's given you, this right here will tell you how to do it. It'll tell you how to be a good church member, how to be a good Christian, how to be a good brother, good sister in Christ, good husband, good wife, good parent, good child. This has got the answers. You see, that's the nature of Revelation. It's what we need to know. Now here's another way of looking at it. Let me give you a list of some things that the Bible reveals. What's the nature of this revelation? Well, I'm not going to spend much time here. I'm just going to kind of run through this. God has revealed Himself. I do want to stop there simply to say this. When you think of the Bible, think not only of it as a revelation of truth, but think specifically, this is a revelation of the truth about God. How would we know that there's only one God? This world has not come to agreement on that. You know why? Because the world does not look to this as the ultimate source of truth. But if you will read in here, it will tell you there is only one true and living God. And by the grace of God, we know Him through His Son. Amen? It is a revelation of the character of God. So if we don't learn more about God as we're reading the Bible, we better go back and reread it because we misread it. It is a book about God. It is a revelation of God and His plan and His purpose. And then it is a revelation of God's plan of redemption. We've touched on that. It's a revelation of the curse on sin and disobedience. I was sharing this with the youth on Wednesday night. It's an amazing fact about the Bible to me. The Bible has 1,189 chapters total. That's a lot of chapters. But I've said that to say this. Of those 1,189 chapters, only four of those chapters describe a world without sin. The first two chapters of Genesis and the last two chapters of Revelation describe a perfect world. The first world, the world we're living in now, Genesis 1 and 2. The new heavens and the new earth, Revelation 21, 22. Everything else in between from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20 is a record of sin and a cursed world. Something, isn't it? And God shows us that He did something to overcome the curse by His grace. And His grace is greater than our sin. That's the storyline. You know it well. He's revealed that to us. He's revealed the blessings of faith and obedience. And then God has revealed His purpose and plan for the future, what He wanted us to know. And He's revealed a lot. So these are things we could not know otherwise. We'd be in the dark. Now, that's the what, basically, of what He's revealed. But how did He do it? Well, several ways that God has revealed truth to us. And I'll mention these. And then we'll be done here in a minute. Hang with me. Hey, by the way, have you gotten thawed out yet? When you go outside, you'll wish you were back in this warm building. Amen? God spoke through the created world. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Even before there was a Scripture, God revealed Himself. And this is the reason, like we had in Sunday school this morning, that God is so very angry with false worship and false gods. Because reason alone, you wouldn't even have to have the Bible to know that God is not to be thought of as an image of wood or stone. Paul went into the intellectual capital of the world, Athens, Greece. And he said, I noticed, guys, you all got a statue over there to the unknown God. Let me tell you who that unknown God is. He proceeded to tell him. And a part of his message was, there's no excuse for what you're doing with all this superstitious idol worship. Because you know that God could not be reduced to an image. He's the one who made all of this. He's the one who gives us the breath of life. In Him, even your own poets have said it, we live and move and have our being. And how would you reduce God to this puny little statue? You see, people could know the truth about God from creation, but they choose not to know. And they make a God they're more comfortable with. And the world's full, always has been, full of idols and false gods. God spoke to the created world. He's majestic. He's great. He spoke in an audible voice. We talked about Adam and Eve. They heard His voice. He spoke through visions and dreams. He spoke through angels. He spoke through prophets. He spoke through His Son. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 and verse 1, it starts out this way, God who at sundry times and in divers manners, that is at different times and in different ways, He spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So He's saying, the writer of Hebrews is, God spoke throughout history in different ways and different times, but now He has spoken through His Son. What a tremendous message. And some would say that that is the ultimate message. That is the most tremendous message. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But actually not so. The greatest revelation of God is here. You say, how could this be greater than Jesus? Because for this reason. It's through this revelation that we know about Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? You wouldn't know about what the prophet said if it weren't for this book. You wouldn't know about the visions. You wouldn't know about the dreams. You wouldn't know about the audible voice. You wouldn't know the meaning of the heavens that declare the glory of God. You would not know all that God wants us to know were it not for this written word. The revelation that contains all others, really. It contains all those other forms of revelation. Now let me close with this. Here's the important thing. God has revealed His truth to us, but now so what? I'll tell you so what. We're accountable for what we've received. We're responsible for the truth He has revealed. Don't just think that you can take it or leave it. No, that's the attitude seems to be with the Bible and the things of God. Is, well, yeah, whatever. You know, if that's your bag, that's fine. It's not mine. But what I want to say to you in closing is this. God has revealed Himself first in the skies and now through the Scriptures and in between through His Son. And for every bit of truth He has revealed, He holds people accountable. You can't plead ignorance. We know. Not only does God hold us accountable, watch this. This is such an eye-opener. And if people only knew this. And this, by the way, is underlying what we're trying to do with Every Home for Christ, getting the gospel out. People are held accountable by God, not only for what we know, but for what we could have known if we'd only opened our eyes. Every one of those packets taken to every one of those homes, those people will be held accountable for what's in that packet. We're accountable to get the truth to them. They are accountable for taking it and reading it and taking it to heart. It's the same in a worship service or Sunday school class or your personal reading in God's Word. God holds us accountable for what we hear. But not only for what we hear or what we read, but for what we could have heard if we'd only been listening. Or for what we could have read if we'd only opened the book. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? I would ask you, does God not have the right to hold people accountable if He has gone so far as to make Himself and His will and His purpose and plan known? Sure. And it's been said that nobody is so blind as those who refuse to see. It's so sad that people are willfully ignorant of the truth. There's more Scripture I'd like to turn to, but our time's up. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You.